I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. When you don't have a headcount for dinner, it's hard to know what to be ready for. Now imagine you're expecting millions of guests. Yeah, really hard to prepare for that. This Thursday, at an international donors conference focusing on Syrian refugees, the challenge will be to prepare for millions. We've got two stories now about that, one about how generosity toward refugees in Denmark has changed over the years, but first to Jordan, which has taken in hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees, and refugees from Syria and elsewhere make up at least 20% of the population now in Jordan, and more are expected. Jordan's King Abdullah told the BBC today that his country has reached a boiling point.
In the psyche of the Jordanian people, I think it's gotten to a boiling point. Jordanians are suffering from trying to find jobs, the pressure on infrastructure for the government. It has hurt us when it comes to the educational system, our health care. Sooner or later, I think the dam is going to burst.
Charlie Sennett from our partners, the Ground Truth Project, is just back from Jordan. Bold words there from King Abdullah. What did he mean by boiling point, Charlie?
I think what he means when he speaks of the psyche of Jordan is a really important point. You know, Jordan has always taken refugees in. This is the history of their country. And we were standing on a hillside just outside of Amman, looking out at the Al-Hussein neighborhood, Jabal Hussein, where the first refugees arrived in 1948, Palestinian refugees, then 1967, and then through the 70s. And then the Iraqis began to come, and now it's the Syrians. And there's almost a look, when you look out at this hillside, almost like an archaeological dig, you can see the different strata of all the refugees that make up the country of Jordan. You're talking about huge numbers, burdening Jordan. And I think the king is trying to recognize, look, sure, refugees are part of who we are. We take people in. But it's also straining to a breaking point, and you could really feel that in Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, the pressures just kind of boggle the mind. So you had such a great image of the stratification of years of migration into this camp. Is there kind of a pecking order of refugees, kind of a resentment among the older generation of refugees with these new Syrians arriving? And how did you see that playing out?
I think there is a sense of, I don't know if resentment is the right word, but a struggle for limited resources, for sure. The Palestinians who have found their place in Jordan are just starting to get jobs and live their own lives all these decades later. And now they suddenly have Syrians in competing with them and other Jordanians for a very limited number of jobs. There aren't enough jobs in Jordan for those who are citizens of the Hashemite Kingdom. And you have 1.4 million Syrians coming in. So what we saw was a competition for very limited resources. And I'd have to say a tremendous understanding on the part of the Palestinians who've been there, and the Jordanians who recognize this is part of who we are. We are a generous people. And I think it's a very tough tumult. It's not easy to define, but it's certainly very much alive in every street corner. For example, you know, the men who are Syrian refugees, they're not allowed to work. So what that means is it puts pressure on children to go work. So child labor is out of control right now in Jordan. And you see it at every sort of auto repair shop. There are these little kids in the background in sort of greasy faces and changing tires and running around doing errands, or in every bakery, in every store sweeping the floor. You could see them in the fields, you know, when the weather was better. They're there all the time working in the fields.
Now, you saw kind of what some of the kids who have been orphaned have to deal with. You went to a kind of an orphanage. It's called the House of Kindness. Who did you meet there? What's going on there?
So we met a young girl there. She was 12 years old. Her father and her brothers were all killed in fighting in Syria. She had managed to get to the border camp at Zatri, the big refugee camp on the border. 80,000 people live there. Her mother was so stressed by that that her mother died of a stroke. She was then orphaned and ends up in this little it's called House of Kindness, the direct Arabic translation. And it was just one of the many places we saw where people were trying to deal with the needs of these kids. Tremendous trauma, so trauma counseling. Tremendous needs to get them reacclimated to school because they've missed years of school. So a lot of remedial help. We were there, you know, big NGOs. All of these NGOs are doing extraordinary work trying to just be a catch basin for this lost generation of Syrian children.
And are they hopeful they can kind of help them out? I mean, it's so many years lost. I mean, where do you even start?
I think they fear what they call a lost generation. And this is the alarm bell they're trying to sound this week in London at the donors conference, is to say, look, we're going to lose a whole generation of Syrian children who will never be educated, who will never get back to school, and who will never have the trauma counseling that's going to allow them to, like, live their lives. They've been through so much. I could really feel this sense of peril of a generation slipping through the hands of this vast international aid effort, a humanitarian response that's extraordinary, but somehow just not enough.
Charlie Sennett, just back from Jordan for our partners, the Ground Truth Project here at WGBH. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Marco.